The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
The Lord said, when you give a cup of cold water in His name and we show love and kindness to one of these little ones, it's as if we have done it to Him. And with that thought, we welcome you to today's edition of Exploring the Word. My name is Alex McFarland. I am in the studio. Yes, I'm not on the road. I am in the studio at American Family Radio with Wesley Wildman, and we're so glad that you're listening. And folks, we've got a great day because we're going to begin on the book of James, the New Testament. We finished up Jeremiah, and we're going to go to the New Testament and begin in the book of James. But Wesley, it's good to be with you, brother. In giving a cup of cold water to the least and the littlest and the lost in Jesus' name, I really can't think of anybody doing that quite as well as India Partners. And we're going to talk about that here in this first part of the show today. And it's good to be with you, my friend.
Well, I'm glad to be here, and I'm excited. We want to jump straight into this, and we have a guest on, David Harms. David, are you with us?
I am here. Thank you.
Great, David. Why don't you tell our audience, most of them should be very familiar, but for those that are just tuning in or just hearing about it for the first time, what is India Partners?
Well, India Partners is a ministry, obviously. We work in various different sites throughout the country of India, about 10 different places with different outreaches, some into the streets of Mumbai, where we rescue girls enslaved in the red light districts. We do have some ministry to handicapped up in the northern region. And then on the southeast side, one of our ministries is with Pastor Eleazar and his wife Prema. And they operate a ministry that does a lot of different things, including drilling water wells, planting churches, and then this children's home, which we've been talking about all day. This children's home is an orphanage, basically, that has been housing girls and boys. And we last year came to you with the task of expanding the home. And you came through. The funds were raised. We added a floor and more to the current building. And then the government said, wait, you need a separate building for the boys and the girls. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, okay.
Right.
not what we really expected. So we've been since that time working hard to obviously adhere to that law. And so basically, we've purchased the land and we've got the site available and ready. We've got the permits now ready to build this new building, completely different for boys. But the funding to actually build the building is what we're here to do today. That would include all the bunk beds and everything else inside. And so we've been asking all day for 1,000 people that could step up and give a gift of $148. That, if we get that 1,000, that would then be the money necessary to build this home. So that's what we've been doing. We're at a little over 800. So we're getting so much closer to this goal and hoping people will call or go online and make that gift.
Well, I'm glad because the last number I saw a couple hours ago was 660. So you're saying that we're at 800 now as far as people giving.
Yep.
Good.
Yeah.
And we want to get to 1,000 by the end of the day. This is a really exciting partnership. We've partnered with India Partners. AFR has partnered with India Partners for several years now. And now, how can they give?
There's a phone number. It is a toll-free number. It's 800-256-1677. 800-256-1677. So you can call that number with your credit or debit card ready. And then also, there is a link at afr.net that has some information and all the rest as well about the project, and hoping that you, as you listen, as the Lord leads, that you would make that call and make that gift. So we need about 200 more people before the end of the day that could step in with that gift, and we will have funded the expansion, or the building, actually, of this new boys' home.
Well, great, David. We also have a really short clip that we want to play that is from Nehemiah, who talks about his experience with India Partners.
Yeah, this story is incredible to me.
Okay,
10-year-old great. Boy.
Yes, sir. We're going to play it right now. Go.
I don't remember anything about my childhood. My sister and I were abandoned on the side of the road, and I have no idea where my mom or dad is. We had nothing to eat. I felt very bad. My stomach was just so empty, and I would just cry for hours on end. A teacher found us and brought us to the children's home. Here, we have good meals. We have breakfast and snacks. And I love the food which is given here. But it is very packed. We don't have personal beds, so it is uncomfortable to sleep, especially when it gets hot because it's so crowded. The girls' home has enough room, but we don't. So we are all waiting and praying every day for a new home, asking God for a good bed and good rooms.
Well, that's a very stirring testimony. I mean, folks, think about that. A little child who has pains and heartaches that we really don't know anything about. And we here in America that have been so blessed, we can invest. And India Partners, we at AFA, we believe in the work of India Partners. They're evangelizing, they're discipling, and God is using them in a mighty way. And David, hi, this is Alex McFarland. I want to say it is really an honor to speak with you, to hear your voice, and to encourage people. Look, we're within a couple of hundred people, and there are tens of thousands listening, so we can do this thing right here. Wesley or David, give the website, the phone number, how do people give? And let's we created a room. Now we're going to build a home for these precious children, and they're going to hear about Jesus in the process.
Yeah. It is kind of a fun thing to think about that, right? To actually build an entire home dedicated to Jesus and the caring of his children. So, yeah, it is. It's fun to do. It's just fun.
Yeah, it is. I know you said that they wanted to, in a previous time, they wanted to build a floor and more. And so the government kind of changed the rules on how an orphanage could be. So we've got to do this. We need to put a roof over the head of these precious children, made in God's image. The Lord knows their name, and India Partners is doing that. How do we give, Wesley?
You can give by going to afr.net, afr.net, right in the middle. You can click, and there's a tab that you can, or it says India Partners right there. You can't miss it. Build a room for more. Give now. And you click that, and right there you can give. Also wanted to point out something is that anytime we partner, you know, with another ministry, India Partners included, we go and we get to visit these orphanages. AFR does. We get to experience what they experience and got to get to do the whole process. So we have this at work, and it is so effective. Now, David, tell them a little bit about what happens with these children, like on a daily basis, because I was blown away by how y'all intentionally implement the gospel as part of their weekly, daily routine.
Yeah, it is very much a daily routine. It's a wake up with devotions, breakfast, then off to school, back to from school. There's a snack, and then there's evening devotions. And on this, for lack of a better word, this campus, there is the church that Pastor Eleazar pastors. And so with that comes very regular Bible studies and services, not just on Sunday, but midweek as well. And these kids are some of the best praisers I have ever experienced. What they lack in talent, they make up for in volume. And so it's pretty amazing to hear these kids just screaming. I heard, you know, the Chris Tomlin, How Great Is Our God song in Hindi. So they're singing this and closing their eyes and raising their hands and worshiping Jesus when maybe as little as a month earlier, they were out in the side of a road in a ditch living and scrounging for food. So this is why this home is so important and why we're asking people to call that number. Again, it's 800-256-1677. 800-256-1677. AFR.net. There's also, as you said, that link there. So
now, David,
please give it and be as generous as you can.
Yes. Now, David, forgive me, but when you said snacks, my brain kind of froze. I love snacks. So when you say snacks, what's a snack in India?
Well, I can guarantee you it'll have curry attached to it. I'm not joking. I remember we sat in this little area with Pastor Eleazar and his wife, first time I'd ever met him, and they bring out tea and they bring out these little crackers that look like little cookies with a little jelly in the middle. And I thought, oh, these are like those coconut macaroon things, right? And so I this looks delicious. So I took a bite, and they were delicious, but who would have thought they'd put curry on a cookie? But they did. And it was like, okay, now we're in India. This is not, you know, the sweet. This is that curry flavor. But between that, little biscuits that are there, the snacks are incredible. They just want to make sure, because most of these kids come in hungry. They're not used to food, and so to not just have, you know, the meals every day, but to be able to know that they're going to get snacks when needed. They're never going to go hungry.
Wow.
The thing that's impressive, of course, in all of this is that they all know it's coming from Jesus, because prayer is just all over the place. Prayer for snacks, pray before meals, pray during our devotions twice a day. It's one of these understandings that when a child walks in the door, they need to understand their identity in Jesus.
Yes. And the mission... Oh, go ahead.
No. That's really... You know, at the heart of it, why we do all the things that we do.
And that's very evident in our trip over there, Air Force trip over there. It was very evident that it was Christ-based, Christ-centered, and for the purpose, it was for the good of the children and for the glory of God. We recognize that. I just want to read this real quick. The mission of American Family Association is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of American culture. Here's the second half. And to give aid to the church here and abroad in the task of fulfilling the Great Commission. Our partnership with Indian Partners helps fulfill the second half of our mission statement and complete all the mission statement of AFA, and we're so grateful for the partnership. Now, what number did you say we were at, and what number do we need to get to?
We are a little over 800, like 802, toward our 1,000, so we're less than 200 away. So I'm always a goal-oriented kind of guy, so if there is a chance that in the next hour we could get, you know, over to the 90% area.
And let's do that on Exploring the Watch Time, right,
Alex? I know, I'm hoping we can do that. Yeah. Exploring the Word, Exploring the Watch. Let's make this thing happen.
Well, praise God.
Every little bit counts. And so that's why, you know, a lot of people are giving that $148. That's very typical, because that's what we've been asking for. And some have given, you know, we had earlier today, we had someone give $5, and right next to it was somebody who gave $5,000.
Mm. Wow.
So it's one of those things where you do whatever it is that God puts on your heart, you opt in at that level. If you can do $1,000 or $2,000 or $3,000 or $5,000, whatever it might be, that's okay. There's others that are coming in much less than that, and that's okay too. It's never about the amount. We know that from Scripture, right? It's never about the amount. It's always about the heart and the response that we have. It's why the widow putting in two little copper coins was deemed to be more worthy, so to speak, or more holy, or more in love with Jesus or with God, because they were just responding with everything they had. So it's never about the amount of money. It's just the heart behind it. So whatever it is that God would put on your heart, then we just ask that be what you respond to, not out of guilt, but out of gratitude and out of worship. And so whatever that is, the number is the same. It's 800-256-1677, 800-256-1677. Just hoping we could get to the next little level, up to 90% of our way to the goal, over 900 people that have given that average gift of 148, and then we'll just see what God does from there.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And this is tax deductible. India Partners, you can, all of your financial gifts, you can write off on your taxes. That's not the only reason people support this great ministry, but, you know, it's a consideration. And so give your website, because there's so much moving content, David, on the website.
Sure. Well, AFR.net has a link, and that's probably the best way to give, is just go there. And that'll connect to our website and our giving page. You can do that. So thank you for doing that. We'll just see what God does, but continue to call and continue to go online.
Amen.
Thank you, David, so much for your partnership with AFR. We enjoy the partnership. Thank you so much. You can stay tuned. We're going to come back with a brief overview of James. Go to AFR.net to support India Partners.
You get the soil ready.
You put the seeds in, and then... you water it.
How do you plant a garden?
I don't know.
You pray that God will give you a good harvest.
Then you have to work it to get all the weeds away.
And then God brings the plants.
Planting a garden takes planning, hard work, and God's blessing. So does creating a lasting legacy for the people and charities that mean the most to you. The AFA Foundation is here to help you sow the financial seeds God has blessed you with in order for them to blossom for generations to come. We do this by offering free consultation and assistance in the areas of charitable gift annuities, estate planning, will and trust planning, and bequests. To learn more, call 800-326-4543, extension 345, 800-326-4543.
4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
Shalom, this is Holy Land Moments, presented by the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, and I'm your host, Rabbi Yechiel Eckstein. Throughout the year, every week in synagogue, we read the Torah, or Bible, beginning with the first chapter of Genesis through the final chapter of Deuteronomy. This week's Torah reading is called Re'eh from Deuteronomy 11, which means to see. It begins, "See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse." But what did God want the Israelites to see? The expression goes, "Seeing is believing," because when you see something, it resonates on a deeper level than just hearing about it. Someone can tell you what a sunset looks like, but until you actually see a sunset, you can't really understand its beauty. Seeing is believing. And believing is knowing that something is true. When God told the children of Israel that they were to see that they had a choice before them, He was telling them to know with complete clarity that following His ways would bring them blessings. Disobeying Him would bring curses. It benefits us to remember this verse every day. In every decision we face, there's only one deciding factor. Which path is most consistent with God's will? If we navigate according to that compass, we'll never go wrong. Seeing something with our own eyes is a way to believe. Yet it's also true that believing is a way of seeing more deeply, more clearly, more fully than just our eyes can.
Join us this year in following Rabbi Eckstein's teachings with our Holy Land Moments daily devotion. To sign up, visit holylandmoments.org. That's holylandmoments.org.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk, studying the Bible and taking your questions.
Speak to me. I've opened up your word to free me. I want to hear you now.
You know, earlier today, Wesley Wildman and I were talking about the book of James a little bit, because in chapter 1, I've quoted it many times, I love it, James 1 verse 5 says, "If anyone lacks wisdom, let them ask of God, who gives abundantly and does not withhold."
That would be a promise.
That's a promise. Listen, I've tried to lay hold of that promise throughout my adult life, is to ask God for wisdom. But we are going to begin a study of a short book of the Bible. It's not long, really, but it's a power-packed book, the book of James. And Wesley, I don't know about you, but just beginning to read chapter 1 in James is such a blessing. And these promises about a lot of topics in James, bearing fruit, understanding the relationship between faith and works. Mm-hmm. These things are important things to get our mind around, and James is a good book to study for that.
Yeah, and it gives us a lot of really good word pictures, too, in the book of James. It gives us a lot of illustrations. It talks about the tongue, and it talks about how it sets like a little flint will set a forest on fire, so mm-hmm. the tongue can also set. But it also talks about how it can steer like a rudder, like a rudder is really, really small, but it steers a massive ship. Where the tongue is the same way. You see a lot, and you'll see a lot of parallels between those and Proverbs, also in the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus talks, and he talks about our works and how it will play out, and how some people will come to him at the end of their life and say, "Haven't we prophesied? We've done all these actions in your name." But he'll say, I never knew you. And so you'll see a little bit of that in the book of James. It's an exciting book. A lot of controversy for some people, you know.
Well, we're going to talk about that a little bit. And, you know, I'm always struck by the relationships of the biblical characters with Jesus. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about this. Mary, when the angel announced to Mary that she would carry the Son of God, you know, she said, "My heart rejoices, my heart magnifies God, my Savior." An amazing relationship, Mary to Christ. I think about John, who was an apostle, saw the risen Jesus. You know, I think about the Old Testament writers who lived way before the incarnation, but yet they saw a pre-Bethlehem appearance of Christ. But the book of James is amazing because think about this. The author says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered abroad, greetings. Okay, the writer of James calls himself a bondservant, and yet this is the brother of Jesus.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Now, James was Jesus's brother, but not biologically.
Right.
Not biologically. Now, there's several Jameses mentioned in the Bible, but this is the brother of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15 talks about James having seen the risen Lord. So what about it to understand the familial relationship, grew up in the home of Mary and Joseph, this James, but yet a follower, a believer in his sibling who happened to be the risen Son of God.
Wow, praise God. That's really, that is interesting, something to consider. Now, it was also wasn't until after the resurrection until James became a believer. Is that correct?
That's right. Do you know what? Let's bring this out. Whatever you're going through, friend, Jesus understands. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that we do not have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but Christ was tempted in all points like we, yet without sin. So maybe you've felt like, well, you know, my family doesn't understand me, or I've been unfairly criticized, or, you know, I've done my best, and yet people, they talk ill of me. Well, Jesus' brothers, in the Gospels, it tells us when Christ is in the temple, Christ is saying, this day Scripture's fulfilled in your ears, his brothers, and James would have been one of them, said he's beside himself.
Mm.
I mean, think about it. Jesus's brothers accused him of insanity.
Yeah.
Now, after the resurrection, James believed, but my point in sharing that is this. Whatever you're going through, and maybe you've been unfairly treated, maybe you've been unfairly criticized, Jesus can legitimately say to each and everyone listening, I understand, and I care. Isn't that something? But the same James that at one point thought that he was not the Son of God, 1 Corinthians 15:7, after the resurrection, James did believe, and not only a believer, he says he's a slave or a bondservant. I'm permanently yoked to you, Jesus. That's what bondservant means.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, praise God for that. You know, one of the first Bible verses that I memorized as a believer, and that was James 5:16, and this is the second half where it says, the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. So we're looking at the book of James, and we're going to start that tomorrow. We're just going to give you an overview right now, and then we're going to take phone calls in the last segment. But just as we're giving an overview, you get all over there in chapter 5, and it talks about prayer of a righteous availeth much. How important is prayer in our life? We talked about this a little bit yesterday. We saw that in the life of Jeremiah. Prayer is very important. And so, Alex, prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What does that mean?
Well, it's a great privilege that the Bible tells us that we are to come boldly to the throne of grace. The prayer of a believer, a righteous person, and by the way, we are declared righteous by faith in Christ, prayer does avail much. You know, Ephesians talks about not being tossed to and fro and not doubting, that we are to believe and not doubt. The prayers of a Christian, if you're a child of God, I mean, rejoice. Oh, my goodness, that you can bow your head, open your heart, and you can talk to Almighty God. And you know what? It's been said that God has three answers to prayer. Yes, no, and wait for something better. You know,
yeah.
Sometimes we might assume that God hasn't heard our prayer or that it doesn't do any good. No, it really does good. It's just that sometimes God's timetable is not the same as our timetable, is it?
No, it's not. And we've established that the author of James is James, as a brother, the brother of Jesus, written around 50 AD, 45 AD, somewhere in there. And it's probably one of the oldest books of the New Testament, if I'm reading that correctly. And so if we're working backwards from James chapter 5, we get to James chapter 2, and it says in verse 17 through 18, in the same way, faith by itself, is not, if not accompanied by actions, is dead. But someone will say to you, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without your deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. How important is it for us as born-again believers, as Christians, to be motivated by our faith in Jesus Christ to do the works that we do? We just had a caller on, a guest, of David Harms from India Partners and the work that they're doing for the orphanage over there in India, and how it is a privilege for us to be able to help out in that process and a partnership. That is one way that we can show our faith and action by partnering with a ministry like India Partners. Isn't that right?
Well, that's right. That's right. And, you know, there's an old saying, Wesley, it's amazing what you can accomplish for God when you don't care who gets the credit.
Really.
And
that's true.
Our faith in Jesus, the fact that, you know, I mean, I think about this all the time. Our sins are forgiven in a world of 7 billion people where many people haven't believed in Jesus. Many people don't know there's a Jesus to believe in. And yet, if you're a Christian, you're a born-again believer, out of the masses of humanity, the good Lord has mercifully called your name and patiently waited, and you turned your heart to Christ, you're a believer. Oh my goodness, what a motivation to do all that you could possibly do for God. I really think, Wesley, that works inevitably will manifest themselves in the life of a person, because every day you wake up, you think, wow, God's given me life, God's given me eternal life. Now, in John 15, verse 5, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Mm. There was an old preacher, we talk about him a lot, Vance Havner. Mm-hmm. And Vance Havner, in his final sermon ever, I happen to know the last place he ever preached, if you're a Vance Havner fan, you might appreciate this, Gate City Baptist Church in High Point, North Carolina. This man that was so hugely influential in the life of Billy Graham preached at the Southern Baptist Convention. They say one of the biggest crowds ever in the history of the SBC was, they turned out to hear Vance Havner. But in his final sermon ever, he said, look at the last three letters of the word Christian, I-A-N. And if you take away those letters, without Christ, I am nothing.
Mm.
And so James is illustrative of the fact that if you're a born-again believer, some works are going to follow from your life. Now, we're not saved by works. Sure. But let me just say this. The same New Testament, this is, examine yourself and see if ye be in the faith. Look, if you've come to Jesus, or you say you're a Christian, but there's not been any change in your life. I mean, you might have recited some words at summer camp 25 years ago, but look, if you're not in prayer, if you're not growing, if you have no desire to read the Word, you don't go to church, there's been no appreciable change in your life, you might want to go back and examine that thing and say, did I really turn my life over to the Lord?
Mm-hmm. And we hear testimony after testimony of people who had like you said, had spoken some words or recited a saying when they were, or the Lord's Prayer when they were growing up or at a kids' camp or maybe at Sunday school, but then, you know, they're 15, 18, even 25 or even older, and then they look at their life in comparison to what they're claiming and the way they're living, yeah. And then they have to, and then they question themselves. So that happens all the time, so don't be ashamed if you got to this point in your life claiming going to church on Sunday, claiming Christianity, but then you have some really bad worldviews or some really bad, or your actions are just don't live out that of a Christian life. What are some actions? What are the fruits of the Spirit is what Paul calls them in Galatians.
Well, one of them is patience. And I think it's interesting. James chapter 1 begins. And
I don't want to talk about this, Alex.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding.
Well, this
talk
book,
patience.
This book that's talking about bearing fruit, it says, yeah. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I love how the King James says diverse temptations, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. The word perfect, mature, and let patience have its perfect work. I want to talk about that because one of the marks of a Christian is not that you've been insulated from all problems,
right?
But that you are able to patiently endure your, well, as the song says, bear your cross,
sure,
with Christ as your strength. So James, a book about bearing fruit, a book about being the bondslave of Jesus, it starts right out of the blocks talking about patience in the midst of trials.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also speaking about patience, James chapter 1, verse 19 says, I'm going to read this really fast because I don't want to talk about it. You ready?
All right. Okay. We don't.
It's another one of those Bible verses that seems to step on my toes. If I could, you know what, after the program, I may just write this in my Bible at the front page so I'm constantly reminded of it. But it says, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And I shared with this, and just to be transparent on the radio, I shared with you earlier that I've had a really hard time with not interrupting people. And so what I can take away from this passage here, and that is I need to be able to listen twice as much as I speak. And if you think about that, Alex, I've heard it said before that we've got two ears and one mouth for a reason.
Right.
We need to listen twice as much as we speak.
Well, we should, and all of us, no doubt, everyone listening, and certainly I'm guilty. You know, Wesley, I tell people the only time I think I've ever disagreed with the Apostle Paul said he was the chief of sinners. I think it's me.
That's your disagreement.
But we feel convicted, but we've said things we didn't want to say, and the book of James talks about taming the tongue. We're going to get there, but look at this. In the beginning, right after talking about being patient in the midst of trials, mm-hmm. is this famous verse, if anyone lacks wisdom. We need wisdom to live. Now, you and I have lived in the time where the internet has exploded. In fact, they say every 90 days, the amount of data stored on all the servers like doubles.
Yeah.
There's 120, 150 terabytes of information for every man, woman, boy on planet Earth.
Mm.
All right, friend, there's no shortage of data. But I would say there is a great scarcity of wisdom. So wisdom. All right, Proverbs 1, verse 7. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And friend, if you want to be wise, not just smart, but I'm talking wise, which is the ability to see and live life from God's perspective. Like James says, so you can endure the trial and you can be strong in faith, verses 6 and 7, you're not going to be vacillating, but you're going to be solid. Wesley, I have come to believe with all my heart that you cannot truly be wise until you've become a student of, a follower of, the Word of God. If you want to know the God of the Bible, you've got to read that Bible, mm-hmm. because it is the book of wisdom, and you're going to. Proverbs talks about Jesus being wisdom personified, but I don't think you can ramp up and be a wise person until you really daily imbibe from the fount of wisdom, which is the Word of God.
Yeah, there's so much in the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation that can not only save souls, but also help us for our daily life. I mean, John 10:10, Jesus said, I came to give life, but also to give it more abundantly. And so there's guidelines, there are encouragements, there's promises, which you mentioned there. And another one of the promises is that we will face trials. James says,
well, that's true.
Not if, but when.
When,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, and so there's all kind of promises of God's Word. It's very important from Genesis to Revelation. You got Genesis to Malachi, you get like an overview of the history of the anticipation of Jesus. And then in the epistles, we've got the explanation of Jesus, kind of explains how that works out, and then the proclamation and revelation. So the Word of God should be the number one resource for a Christian.
Exactly. I can't believe it, but we are two-thirds of the way through the show.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is we're going to take your phone calls, folks. The toll-free number nationwide, 888-589-8840. We've got a brief break. Do not go away, because when we come back, the phones are open. It's time for your calls and questions, and we look forward to hearing from you.
There is a deadline of September 15th for India Partners to break ground on a new boys' orphanage in Southeast India. This happened because the Indian government changed its building code, and that means that an orphanage and children's home can no longer be for both boys and girls. They need separate buildings. And many of these boys, like Charun, were abandoned and had to fend for themselves on the streets of India at a very young age.
I would have half a meal a day if I was lucky.
The boys are currently living in two small rooms on the ground floor of the current children's home. But that has to change, both because the law requires it and simply because there's not enough room.
It smells awful, and it's hard to sleep.
Today is the day to call and make your gift. Be one of 1,000 listeners to make a gift of $148 so a boy like Charoon can stay at a new home run by India Partners. Give now at AFR.net or call 800-256-1677.
The gay agenda, Islam, liberation theology, aggressive socialism. You ask yourself, how should I respond to these attacks on my Christian faith? How can I share Christ in a sinful culture? Hello, I'm John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi. An online Master of Arts in Apologetics from WBS will prepare you to defend and share your faith in an increasingly hostile world. Wesley Biblical Seminary, where faith and learning challenge culture. WBS.edu.
Our motto on Focal Point is simple. We need to pray, we need to think, and we need to act. That's why every day we open the program with prayer for spiritual renewal for ourselves and our nation. Then we talk about how we should think about what's going on around us. And then we talk about what we should do about it. This is Brian Fisher of Focal Point. Hope you will join us.
Making the issues clear and our role plain. Focal Point with Brian Fisher, weekdays from 1 till 3 Central on AFR Talk.
God reached Michael Brown with faith in Christ when he was a 16-year-old drug-using rock and roller. With that faith, Dr. Michael Brown has devoted his life to spreading the gospel and sparking moral revolution.
The world continues to go crazy all around us. I'm here to be a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity.
Dr. Brown has debated Jewish rabbis, agnostic professors, and gay activists, and is widely considered to be the world's foremost messianic Jewish apologist. Dr. Michael Brown will be one of the speakers this year at the annual AFA Retreat at the Cove, October 3rd through 6th. Space is limited to 400 attendees, so make your plan soon. Get more information at afafoundation.net. Register by calling 800-950-2092, option 1, followed by option 2. It's the annual Retreat at the Cove in the beautiful Smoky Mountains of North Carolina at the Billy Graham Training Center in Asheville, North Carolina. And we hope to see you there.
Hey, it's Crane. Here's what's coming up on today's Nothing But Truth. David Harms will tell us how AFR and India Partners are teaming up to show the love of Christ to India's orphans. Columnist Arnold Allar weighs in on what he thinks Trump's immigration speech should include and responds to John Kerry's latest gaffe. Plus, an update on the reaction to Kaepernick's protest. So join us this afternoon at 5 Central for Nothing But Truth on AFR Talk.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert. You're listening to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
We're going to keep on in the book of James beginning tomorrow. I'm going to read you one more scripture, then we're going to open up the phone. So callers, wherever you are, it's Exploring the Word, and your questions will be welcomed. But verse 6 says, regarding asking God for wisdom, but let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. If you want to get off the treadmill of faith and doubt and up and down and on, I'm off, I'm with Christ, I'm wandering, look, get in the Word. The Word of God is that rock of Gibraltar that can't be shaken, and your life will be solid and stable if you'll feed on it daily.
The safest place to be is consecrated right before the Lord, reading His Word.
That's right. That's
safest
right.
place to be. All right, we're going to go to our phone calls. This is a really exciting time in our program. This is the Tuesday edition of Exploring the Word. We're in our last segment, and this is the segment that we take every day to answer your questions, and we do so with the best of our ability. And we've got Alex in the studio, which is a rare occasion. Normally, he's on the road traveling, and yeah. So calling Comrex. So we're really excited about this. We're going to go to Lisa from Alabama. She's our first caller today. Lisa, what's your question you have for us?
Hey, Alex.
Hi.
Listen, I have a comment, and then I have a question.
Okie doke.
Last week, y'all were talking about the Ark of the Covenant, not really sure where it's at and all that.
Right.
Well, have you ever seen Indiana Jones?
Oh, yeah. Love it. Love it.
Yes. Wasn't that a great, the first one? Anyway, I was telling my husband the other night, we were it was on, and we were watching it at the very end when they found the ark and they opened it up.
Right.
How the Spirit of the Lord came and everybody died that looked at it. I was thinking, boy, did Hollywood get that wrong, because the Spirit of the Lord is in us, you know.
That's right.
It's no longer in the ark. Not that I would go touch it. I don't know about that. But I thought that was just something I'd tell you. Well, but the question I have is about Mary. We were talking about James being the brother of Jesus. Was there any part of Mary at all that was part of Jesus, as far as, like, it really, was it her egg and then the Lord's, you know what I'm trying to say?
Sure,
the
I do.
Pole, or was it just, she was just the surrogate of Jesus, you know?
That is a great question, because different scholars have speculated on this, and we just don't fully know what happened. Did one of her eggs, because a fertile female carries, you know, 300,000 eggs, did one of her eggs develop into the Son of God, or was it, was the fetus that she carried in her body something completely separate? Henry Morris, I think, has done about the best job on this. Folks, if you don't know who Henry Morris was, he was a PhD from, he got his doctorate at Virginia Polytechnic Institute, and he was the founder of the Institute for Creation Research. He did a great study Bible called the Defender's Study Bible. I want to mention two books Henry Morris wrote. One was called The Genesis Record. Another was called The Revelation Record. Great guy. But he wrote a book about this, and he said, look, as the second Adam, because, you know, the Bible talks about the death came through the first Adam, but life came through the second Adam, Jesus. Dr. Morris and others have said this, that so Jesus did not inherit the sin nature of Adam and Eve, that Mary carried a completely separate creation within her body, that when the Spirit of the Lord will overshadow thee and the power of the highest, that in her womb was put a different, it wasn't one of her eggs that got fertilized, but Jesus, the second member of the Trinity, came into world history, time and space, and what she carried in her was different. Because that way, the imputed unrighteousness of Adam was not part of Jesus. See, here's the thing. When a baby is conceived, and every life is precious, every life is significant, but we need a Savior because we have the imputed unrighteousness of Adam and Eve. Now, we also need a Savior because we do sinful things. We sin, but we've got a sin nature. Dr. Morris argues that Christ, to be our Savior and not have any sin nature, he would have been a completely separate creation that was in her womb, she carried within her body. And I tend to agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't know. We know he was the Son of God. Genealogically, he met all the criteria. But I tend to agree that what she carried was not one of her eggs fertilized, but a completely separate creation. But we just don't know.
Lisa, and that's a great question. And it's questions like that that we just love to have on the program. We like to walk through it the best we can. But what we do know is what I want to read to our audience, and then we'll move on to the next question. And that's Matthew 1:18, and it says that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. So we do know that much, and that's what we're going to hang our hat on to answer that question. And then we are going to go on to the next phone call from Louisiana. Sorry, hold on just one sec. All right, Casey from Louisiana. I only got the first three letters of your name, and I didn't want to mispronounce that. Go ahead, Casey.
Hey, what's going on? I just wanted to call, and I have a comment about what y'all were talking about assurance.
Sure.
I'm 29 years old. Yeah, I'm 29. I was a former Marine, did infantry in 2nd Battalion, 8th Marines, Echo Company, back in 05 to 08. And I grew up in church for 20 years. And when I was 9, I said sinner's prayer, got baptized, and didn't live my life at all like I knew Christ. And then when I was 19, we were getting ready to go do a push through Ramadi. And I was like, oh, I better go get baptized again, you know, earn some favor. And you know, from God. And I was at 19 years old, got out of the Marine Corps, lived my whole life, you know, till I was 25 years old, like God didn't exist. And the most profound thing I ever read in the Bible was Matthew 7, verse 21.
Oh, yes.
Not every man says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And that just proves that you can know Jesus is Lord, but not get into heaven, not have a relationship with him. And then, I was like, I just felt it like the Lord was putting it on my heart. Like, what's going on? What are you doing with your life, Casey? What are you doing? And then I read James 4:4, friend of the world, enemy of God. And I just kept reading and digging, and I realized that faith is what saves you, not what you do or getting baptized or anything like that. So I put faith in Christ, and I got saved, and there you go.
Well, in chapter 1, and by the way, thank you for that testimony, and I'm glad you're walking with the Lord today, and I continue to do that. I encourage you to continue doing that. But 22 through 24 in James chapter 1, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his face in a mirror. He observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Hey, we need to remember what kind of people we're called to be. And not just a hearer, not just one who knows about Jesus, but one who has a relationship with Jesus.
Not just someone who's informed, but who's active in what they're informed about.
That's right.
You know, also, we're going to go to the next call, but he reminded me when he said in Matthew 7, that's also what I mentioned earlier about the parallel in chapter 2 of James, which is what we'll talk about as we develop as we go through the book of James. But remember what it says in James chapter 2, verse 19, you believe there's one God, good. Even the demons believe, and they shudder.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
The believing part.
And you know, friends, Matthew 7, 21 through 24, I'm not trying to be flippant or anything, but that will put the fear of God in you. Read that. Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. And if you've got a shred of doubt, you know, we on this show, Bert and I talk about this a lot, but if you're not sure that you're saved, and look, don't leave this world hoping that you're ready to meet God.
Right.
You can know. We give a lot of scriptures, and if you need help with that, then call us here at the ministry. Go on Billy Graham's website, but it's admitting that you're a sinner, believing Christ is the Savior. He died for the world, but he died for you, and then you turn to him, you ask him, and he will save you. I'll give you a verse, and we're going to go to the next call. It's John 6:40. Jesus said, whoever sees the Son and believes in him will have everlasting life, and I will raise you up at the last day. Turn to Christ and be sure.
Amen. Let's go to David from Mississippi. David, what's your question you have for us today?
Actually, I just had a comment, and it's pretty neat. The caller you just had kind of really emphasized one of the things I was going to say. Y'all were talking about faith without works is dead, and I know that's a lot of controversy with some people, but it makes perfect sense to me. And the previous caller talking about you can believe in Jesus and still not get it. I mean, I was baptized when I was a child, and I really believed. I genuinely believe Jesus is absolutely who the Bible says he is. But I just, it didn't affect my life. And when I was about 24, you know, I was just into a lifestyle that just was, you know, bad stuff, just drinking and all kinds of stuff. And I was reading in the scriptures, and I ran across something that I was absolutely not able to get around, which was where Jesus says, you will know a tree by the fruit it bears. And to me, that verse kind of walks hand in hand with, you know, faith without works is dead.
Yeah.
Because looking at what I was doing, clearly I was not saved. And I mean, that changed my life. And I really, be honest, I believe there's a lot of people out there like me who made professions of faith when they were very small. And I believe you can be a child and really understand and be saved. But I believe there's a lot like me that, you know, grew up in Christian homes. And so you went and got baptized because that's what you did.
Yeah.
And just not get it. And praise God that, you know, he doesn't give up on people like me.
Right, and we got to always remember that. You know, you think about our works and our actions and how important they are as a result of what Christ has done for us in our life. But yeah, you're probably right. There are probably some people like that. And we need to remember to pray for those and to be patient with those that are living contrary lifestyles. But the reality is, and the most obvious change of someone, or when someone is born again, the most obvious thing is a change in lifestyle. That's how you can tell someone goes from death to life, is a change in their attitude, their lifestyle. Does that happen overnight? A gradual thing. And some people grow up a little faster than others and mature. So it's kind of hard to see, you know, the eternal state of someone's souls. Only God can see that. But our fruit, you see that a lot in the New Testament, the fruit of the Spirit, our actions, we talk about in the book of James, and as we just talked about, the tree and how it produces fruit. So there has to be a continual ongoing state of sanctification. Isn't that right, Alex?
Well, if God has changed your life, your life will be different. Mm-hmm. Your life will be different. Romans 2 verse 15 says, in that day that our conscience will either excuse us or accuse us. Mm. And it's talking about the fact that those who didn't have the law of God did the things prescribed by the law. And here's the thing, folks. Don't rationalize, don't legitimize, don't try to get around it. I mean, ask yourself the hard question that is really the one and only question on life's final exam. Yeah. Have you become a follower of Jesus? Now, you know if you have or if you haven't. I mean, really, folks. And it's been said, I don't mean to invoke a cliche here, Jesus didn't come to save us in sin. He came to save us from sin. Mm. And if you think Christ and your unrepentant, habitual, daily sin can coexist, that's not the gospel.
Mm-mm. Well, we've got two phone calls we're going to try to get to the best of our ability. We're going to go to Belisa from Mississippi. Belisa?
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, go ahead. What's your question you have for us today?
My question is, I want someone to explain the difference between James 2:20 and Ephesians 2:8.
All right. Well, Alex is going to look up those two.
2:20 says, "But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead?" Okay. And then Ephesians 2:8-10, "For by grace you save through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works, it is the gift of God."
Mm-hmm.
Great question. Let me say this, that trusting in Christ, and the word faith really means trust or belief. We understand that the work of salvation, the payment for our sins, He paid for on the cross. So we trust Him, but once our life has been changed, the Bible says we've passed from death into life. 2 Corinthians 5:17, the old has passed away, all things are made new. We begin to live for Jesus. We begin to grow. The fruits of the Spirit that Wesley talked about begin to be visible and manifested in our life. So I think James 2:20 and Ephesians 2:8, 9, and 10 are completely in harmony,
mm-hmm.
that we put our faith in Jesus. He paid for our sins, but our life has changed, and that change becomes visible.
Yep, and we're going to see that in the book of James as we continue our study. Thank you so much for listening to Exploring the Word today on this Tuesday edition. Bert Harper will be back in studio, and he'll be carrying the torch with you as y'all walk through the book of James. Alex, thank you so much for sitting in. Sorry, Coleman, that we cannot get to your phone call. Please call back tomorrow. We'd love to have you on. And remember, go check out India Partners. We're partnering with them, and we need your help. We're just over 800 people who have supported and taken the stand to support, and we need your help to get to 1,000 by the end of the day. Alex?
Well, folks, thanks for listening. It's great to be in the studio. Hey, tell somebody about Exploring the Word. Tell somebody about AFA. But most importantly, tell everybody about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.